You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word.
Religion will condemn you. Your own religion won't save you. It condemns you. Christ is the Savior. You either have him or you don't have him. You either trust him or you don't trust him.
That's the truth we'll hear today from our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, here on Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus for our study of Romans chapter 2. And as you find your seat, I want to share a couple of letters from our fellow passengers around the world. First, we've got a note from a listener named Anna in Moscow. My husband left me a year ago, and I felt betrayed and utterly alone. It is then that I began listening to your programs. As I listened, I understood that God is the one who truly cares about me and everyone else, and that I must continue to live, love people around me, and change this world for the better. I am being healed. Yes, it's true. God does have the power to heal our broken hearts through His Word, doesn't He? Isn't that wonderful to hear again? Here's another letter. This is from a listener of our SWA programs in Mozambique. This listener writes, I learn every day from these wonderful lessons. I am a simple man and hear the voice of God in the simplest ways. I praise God that He is and has been our everlasting rock. It is wonderful to know that, and even better to have the certainty of our salvation. Well, amen to that. I know I'm grateful to have that certainty, aren't you? You know, you can support the Bible bus as it rolls through places like this, Moscow, Mozambique, and so many other places, just by calling us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also visit ttb.org/give. And as always, we're grateful for your partnership as God's Word goes out in English and in more than 200 languages around the world. Now let's give this time to the Lord. Father, we pray that the reality of your grace and mercy comes alive to us today. Would you speak to our hearts and then remind us of how much we need you? In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to this second chapter of Romans, and in it we see self-righteous people are going to be judged of God. And he puts down, actually, six great principles here by which God will judge them. He says here in chapter 2, verse 1, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. Now, this, by the way, is the very important issue in this chapter. Chapter 1 had revealed the unrighteousness of man. Now chapter 2 reveals the self-righteousness of man. And it's well to keep in mind here that Paul is not talking about salvation. He's talking about sin and the basis on which God will judge men. These six principles of judgment are not the basis of salvation. It's the basis of judgment. I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to come up and under them. I thank God for a Savior today. And Scripture presents the gospel as the only means of obtaining eternal life. To reject the Son of God immediately brings upon a person the judgment of God, and the only verdict here is guilty. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then listen to the Lord Jesus after that marvelous, wonderful John 3:16. We generally stop that, but he says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, verse 18, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's John 3:36. So that these are lost today that do not have Christ. And you may be a religious person, may be a good person, but without Christ, my friend, you're lost. And now he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. The word man here is anthropy. It's the generic term. It can mean both men and women. It includes both Jew and Gentile, and refers to mankind in general. Mankind, whosoever thou art, that judges. Now he passes now from the general to that which is specific. From that which is the mass to the person. And he addresses any person of the human race, but he limits it to those that judge others. Now the word here for judge carries the thought of judging with the idea of an adverse verdict. It can be whosoever thou art that condemnest another. Therefore, that raises the question, what should be the attitude of a believer today toward this awful, horrible group that are mentioned here in Romans 1? It should be this. We should want them to get saved, and we should try to get the gospel to them, that they are poor, lost creatures. And I think we should be able to use the words of the old hymn, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. And my friend, that should be our attitude, wanting their salvation, but making it very clear that they need to be saved and need to be delivered from this gross perversion and immorality today. Now, the very interesting thing is that we may get the wrong impression here. It says, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. The word is auto. We get from that automobile and things like that. What he means here by the same things, he does not mean identical things, but things that are just as bad in God's sight as the things done in awful depravity by the heathen and the lost, and are offensive to the cultured and refined sinner. Now, here is the thing that he's saying, simply this. You that sit in judgment on these people, how many people today, they can tell you that Hitler, I heard a man who's not saved say that he didn't believe that hell could be heated hot enough for that man. My friend, he's sitting in judgment. He's taking the place of God. He says he doesn't think Hitler is fit to live. And there are a great many people that condemn today the communists, and they condemn the radicals. And I'd rather join you there, by the way. But may I say to you, we're doing the same thing, and we are guilty of doing the same thing. And somebody says, wait a minute, I don't do those things. May I say to you, you today are sitting in judgment on those that are not on your plane. You use the society's standard, and it varies, by the way. And if somebody doesn't come up to the standard of your little group, believe me, you'll condemn them. I know a lot of the saints, if a man walked in with a cigarette in his mouth, they'd consign him to the lowest regions of hell. That to them is worse than gossiping, and it's worse than being dishonest. And I know some fundamental churches where you can get by being a liar, you can get by being a gossip, you can get by being dishonest, but you can't get by smoking a cigarette. They condemn you. The fact that you judge other people, you are assuming that position. Now God is saying, by the same token that you have the right to judge other people that don't measure up to your standard, God has the right to judge you by his standard, not your standard. And therefore, God judges by his standard. A great many folk think that they're well-pleasing to God. Someone has put it like this, if we could see ourselves like God sees us, we couldn't even stand ourselves. We are obnoxious. We are repugnant. We are lost sinners. What contribution can you and I make to heaven? Will we adorn the place? I get the impression from some people that my heaven's going to be a better place when they get there. This earth hasn't been a better place because they've been here. you try to deny to God the same privilege that you have of sitting in judgment on others. My friend, God is going to judge you. And he won't judge you by your standard or the standard by which you are judging others, but by his standard. Does that begin to move you? It ought to, because I found out I can't come up to his standard. Now he goes on and he puts down now the first great principle. For we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such thing. Now when he says we are sure, he says we know. We know that the judgment of God is according to reality. You know, there's so many folk today, including church members, who live in a world of unreality. They do not want to hear the truth of the gospel. Now, I hear a great many pious folk that have said, oh, you know, I just want Bible study. I do want to study the Bible. Then they get into the Word of God and they found out, as John found out in the book of Revelation, when he began to see the judgments of God, when he first started out, it was thrilling. It was sweet in his mouth. But when he ate that little book, it gave him indigestion, bitter in his belly. And a great many Christians, that is, church members, they say they want Bible study, but they don't want reality. They do not want to look at the truth. We know that the judgment of God is according to reality against them which commit such things. Now, this is one of those great principles. And these are the principles of judgment, and they are not the principles of salvation. Man has an inherent knowledge that he must be judged by a higher power. And the coming judgment of God is something every man out of Christ either dreads or denies it. And the scripture is very clear. Paul said to the Athenians, because he hath appointed a day in the which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Now Paul reasoned, you remember, with Felix about righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. And it frightened this fellow Felix. In fact, he didn't want to hear another sermon. The judgment of God's in contrast with man's judgment. Man does not have all the facts, and his judgment is partial and prejudiced. God's judgment takes in all the facts, but here the thought is the actual state of man, just what he is. I used to pick cotton as a boy, and I wasn't very good at it. I know I'd bring in a sack of cotton and they weighed it. And they only weighed what you brought in. And the man weighing the cotton, he didn't ask me where I picked it or how I picked it or to whom it belongs. He just weighed it. And God says, thou art weighed in the balances in God's word to every man that boasts of his morality. I think the great delusion of the cultured person is that the depraved person must be judged, but he's confident that he'll escape because he's different. Most people believe Hitler and Stalin ought to be judged, but they think they should escape. God will judge man for what they are in his sight. You want to stand before God on that basis? I don't. Now, will you notice the next? He moves on down here and he says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You know, down here, every criminal, as far as I can tell, always feels that he's innocent, ought not to be punished. I used to hold services in a penitentiary in Nashville, Tennessee, and I never dreamed there was so many innocent men back of bars. Nobody there seemed to be guilty. Just a group of innocent men that felt like they ought to be out. And every man feels this. Govey called attention to the four ways of escaping the judgment. And one is the criminal thinks his offense will not be discovered. And then if it is discovered, he may escape beyond the jurisdiction of the court. He may cross over the border. And the third is, after arrest, there may be some legal technicality which will cause a breakdown of the legal procedure. And it's almost ridiculous, our courts in this country today, some little legal technicality let a criminal off who's definitely guilty as sin. And the fourth is, after conviction, he may escape from prison and stay undercover. And my friend, none of those avenues are open to you when you come before God. Your offense will be discovered. You can't escape beyond his jurisdiction. There'll be no legal technicality, and you'll never be able to escape from prison. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Then he says, or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, we ought to recognize today that the goodness of God is something that ought to bring us to our knees before him. But instead of that, it drives men from God. David was disturbed by the way that the wicked could prosper. God didn't seem to do anything. In Psalm 73, David says, I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. They're going to be judged, my friend. And by the way, if you're a lost man, don't think I'm a preacher that's going to take anything away from you. Somebody said to me, says, well, I guess you would like to take liquor out of this country. Well, I think it'd be good if we could take it out, but I'm not in that business. Because I want to say to the lost man, if you haven't trusted Christ and your only hope's in this life, brother, you better suck this earth like it's an orange and get all of it out of you can, drink all you can, sin all you can, because I want to tell you one thing, you won't have anything over there. You better get it while you're here, if that's the way you want to live. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you die. My friend, you need a Savior, and God's going to judge. And the goodness of God ought to lead you to it. But he says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And many of you listening to me today that are not saved, you know God's been good to you. God has blessed you and didn't bring you to him, did it? May I say that makes your judgment all the worse? When you think of the starving today in Calcutta, India, and you think of you a wicked man, and you're just living on top of the world, you think God's not going to judge you? You think that somehow or another you are going to escape? Well, my friend, the very goodness of God ought to lead you to repentance. Then we come to verse 6 here, and this is the second great principle, who will render to every man according to his deeds, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Absolute justice is the criterion of the judgment or rewards. Man's deeds stand before God in his holy light. No man in his right mind wants to be judged on this basis. Why, that was Cornelius. He was a good man, but he was lost. And then he says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. And we have here a series of things that are coming up for judgment. And these are the things God will judge men for. I'll not take up that list, but I'm going to drop down now to verse 11, to the third principle. There's no respect of persons with God. You see, this is a great principle of the Old Testament. For the Lord your God is a God of gods, Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Can't buy them all. That's Deuteronomy 10:17. And God's no respecter of persons. Simon Peter found that out when he came to the home of Cornelius. May I say to you again and again, the Word of God refers to that. God won't play favorites. He has no pet. All men are alike before him. Justice is blindfolded, not because she's blind, but that she may not see men in either silk or rags. All must appear alike. Church membership, a good family, and even having a fundamental creed give you no advantage before him at all. Do you have a Savior, or don't you have a Savior? And we're told, for as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And this is another great principle by which God is going to judge today. For notice, and it's expressed in verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. I wish I had time to go in that. The heathen are lost without the law. They're not lost. A great many people say they're lost because they haven't accepted Christ or haven't heard about Christ. My friend, they're lost because they're sinners. That's the condition of all mankind. Men are not saved by the light they have. They're judged by the light they have. And it's not the hearers of the law. A great many people think if they just approve the Sermon on the Mount and think it's a very nice document, that means they're saved. My friend, that's not the basis at all. Now we find in verse 15 here the fifth great principle, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, the conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing them. God can and will judge the heathen by his own conscience. May I say to you that we think that today, that somehow or another, the heathen, because of the fact that they don't have the revelation, but they're not even living up to the light they have, God will judge them on that basis. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now that's the basis of judgment. This idea that because I happen to be a good man, that is, I think I am, that I'll be saved. God's going to judge the do-gooders, and he'll judge him on the basis of what they've done by Jesus Christ and the secrets of the human heart. You want the secrets of your heart brought out? Not the lovely little things you said, but the dirty little thoughts that came to you. All of that will be brought out. I thank God that I have a Savior today. Now he says here, and I'm going to deal with this very briefly in just the 2 minutes left. And we have here now God's going to judge religious people, the Jews in particular, because that was a God-given religion. They're to be judged. He says, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law. Makest thy boast of God, knowest his will, approvest the things that are more excellent, being catechized out of the law. Now, those are the things they could boast of. They are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth. Now, here's Paul's question. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? My friend today, church member, let me be very frank with you. Are you really living up to the light that you have, to the Word of God? Are you just making a profession of it? May I say to you that every person knows within his own heart that he comes short of the glory of God? And your religion may reveal to you some very high principles. But are you living by them? Are you doing them? Here was a God-given religion, and for over a millennium, these people tried to keep it. They found out that they could not. They could not measure up to God's standard, and you cannot. Religion cannot save you, but Christ can save you. He alone is the Savior, not religion, not your church membership. Not your fundamentalism. Christ is the Savior. You either have him or you don't have him. You either trust him or you don't trust him. The basis on which God will judge people, my friend, not the basis on which he saves them. Christ is the Savior. Religion will condemn you. Your own religion won't save you. It condemns you. The law was a ministry of condemnation. Oh, to turn to Christ today. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Learn more about how you can trust God and receive His Son, Jesus, as your Savior just by visiting ttb.org and then clicking on How Can I Know God? As we look forward to our next study, why don't you read ahead in Romans, start with chapter 2, verse 21, and go through Romans 3, verse 9, and then invite someone to listen with you. Who knows? They may be eternally grateful. For help sharing this study with family members or friends or even strangers you meet, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at BibleBus@ttb.org and request our new Bible Bus Passes. We've got three different cards, one directing them to Dr. McGee's studies, another to his booklets, and a third that is an invitation to learn about how to know God. Just call or email and ask about them. And when you do, we'll send you a 10-pack of each one with a QR code and our website address. And best of all, they're free. So get a few today and pass them out. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here next time, Lord willing, as we continue our journey through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Our study today was made possible through your prayer and financial support. We'll meet you back here next time. In fact, we're going to do this together, Lord willing, till Jesus comes again. In which case, we'll meet you in the air.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Radio Land, once again, this is your radio pastor, James Lawson, the Light Assembly of God. We are the church in the city, with the city in its heart. And we thank the Lord this wonderful day that he has allowed us to be able to minister his word to all those that have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying unto them. And even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are here to be a blessing and to speak into your hearings what the word of God says. And we thank God for that opportunity. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in Radio Land there. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray right now, Heavenly Father, that those that have tuned into the broadcast, that they will be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit and the eternal Word of God that will touch their hearts, change their lives, and give them victory in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you and we praise you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're going to be speaking today concerning the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name, praise God, what a powerful, magnificent, and mighty name. And he has given us the opportunity that we could use his name in any given situation. So today we want to just glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and use his name in every situation, circumstances, or whatever problems that you may have out there in Radio Land. Even us, whatever problems we have, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We use his name because we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, he has given us the power of attorney to use his name, glory to God, and we thank him for it right now. Praise God. We want to look at the subject, the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So we want to go into Ephesians 1, praise God, and verse 19. And we want to look at what Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesus. Glory to God. He said many things, and we can glean a lot from what is being said here. But I want to go down to the 19th verse, and I want to look at this power that he has given unto us. We, first of all, as the Word of God says, in Ephesians 2 and verse 6, it says here that he has made us, he's raised us up together with Christ to sit in heavenly places, far above principalities and mights and so forth. So I want to tell you today that whatever your problem may be, listen, you have the right, if you are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the right to use the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In Ephesians 1 and verse 19, it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Well, I want to tell you, if you're a believer out there, I'm talking about power. Power beyond measure. Power that we cannot even comprehend. And that's the power of that wonderful, matchless, and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and mights and dominions and above every name. Glory to God. I want to tell you the name of Jesus is above every name, and we need to understand that. Glory to God, that his name is above sickness.
Yes.
His name is above disease. Whatever it is that's going on in the life of a believer, there's great power. Glory to God. I said there's great power. My God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's given it to us. And he's also given us the power of attorney that we can use his name. We can use his name in any given situation. I remember reading there in Acts 1 and verse 8 when he was telling his disciples. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Glory to God, we can use the name of Jesus. We know that many folks say, well, listen, the book of Acts is a historical book. Matter of fact, I want to say this in all love and in all compassion, that the entire Bible is historical. Praise God. And I want you to understand that, because first of all, it happened over 2,000 years ago, and whatever it is that's going on in your life, you can use this powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Apostle Paul says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? You have power. Glory to God. I said, you have power as a child of God. You don't have to run from the devil. You can face the devil. You're not trying to fight the devil because he's defeated already. You can resist the devil with this power that resonates on the inside of you. And his name is Jesus, glory to God, the Spirit of the living God. So what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, mights and dominions, and above every name. Glory to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, his name is above every name.
Amen.
Mr. Glory.
Amen.
And what is happening is that we have this power, and many of us are walking around with our head hanging down instead of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing who we are in Christ, and walk according to that power, that exceeding greatness of his power. Praise God. Can we imagine for a moment that the adversary probably looks at us, he knows that he's defeated.
Right.
We should know that he's defeated. The body of Christ should know that he is a defeated foe.
Yes.
He's been defeated. And that's why we sling the blood around, glory to God, everywhere. And whatever the problems may be, we use the blood of Jesus against the forces of darkness. Glory to God. I said the blood. The blood has power. Glory to God. And every time we invoke the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or use that name, the enemy realizes that he's been defeated. I said he realizes that he's been defeated. It reminds him of his defeat that took place there on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that the devil is a defeated foe. We're not trying to fight the devil. We're resisting that evil spirit that tried to stop us from carrying out the mandate that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us and the power that he's placed in our lives as children of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. We got to know who we are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. We have to know who we are in Christ. Glory to God. Because the enemy, he knows that we have that power. Praise God. And the power, as the word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, glory to God, in verse 7, it tells us that this treasure is in earthen vessels. Glory to God. The excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God. Glory to God.
Amen.
I tell you, this power is of God, and he uses us as a vessel. So I see what Apostle Paul was talking about there. I look at the same power as the word of God says that the one that raised up Jesus from the dead. Glory to God.
Yes.
The same power. We have this power.
Amen.
You know, many times the enemy comes and tries to offset us and try to confuse us and depress us and try to keep us from carrying out the work of God. But I want to tell you today, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we break that power of the adversary. Every thought that he will place into our mind, my God, we cast it down, because the word of God tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Glory to God. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Well, where was the obedience of Christ? It took place there on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ broke the power, glory to God, of sin. My God, he paid that price. And I want to tell you today that we as children of the Most High God, we stand firm. We stand on the rock, and we hold the bloodstained banner and the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we tell any spirits of darkness, we take authority over you in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, I tell you, this thing here is real. Praise God. And a lot of folks are just walking around. We should not walk around with our head hanging down. Our heads hanging down. We should not. We should hold our head up. Yep. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Jesus told us in his word, praise God, and look up for your redemption draws nigh. I tell you, keep on looking up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Keep on looking up. Hallelujah. Keep on thanking the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto him for everything. But now look at what it says here. We want to go in that Ephesians 1 and verse 19. We want to go on down further there, because he is sitting at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Yes. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. He has made us to sit in Ephesians 2 and 6. He has made us to sit with Christ in heavenly places. We got to know who we are. We have to know whose we are. And we have to know what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Lift up the bloodstained banner. Eyeball the devil in the name of Jesus. Every demon spirit that come up against you, eyeball it in the name of Jesus, and tell him, my elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ defeated you over 2,000 years ago. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
Over 2,000 years ago. And he has not changed. Praise God. Amen. He has not changed. So if he was defeated 2,000 years ago, he's still defeated. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. We're walking in this thing. And many of us the enemy tried to torment us, tried to come up against us. But I want to tell you today, we know where the power is.
We know where the power is.
The power is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And the power is not of us.
Nope.
As Apostle Paul was telling the church of Corinth there, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, it tells us that the treasure, this treasure is in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels. God uses us. Glory to God. We're the only ones that God can use in this earth realm here, because he is the head, and we're checking in the headquarters all the time, receiving information from headquarters.
Amen.
Amen. From headquarters. Not trying to do anything on our own strength or ability, but we check in the headquarters.
Absolutely.
We talk to the head of the church.
That's right.
Who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Amen. And that's what it says here. Glory to God. And we want to go on down there in Ephesians. We'll come back to some other verses of scripture here, but we want to just magnify the Lord. That's why, you remember I was reading there where the psalmist was saying there, in the 34th Psalm there, when David was praising God for his deliverance, and David said, oh, magnify the Lord.
Amen.
With me, he said, and let us exalt his name together. I'm telling you, what a mighty, powerful name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to throw that in there because it's a wonderful thing there that David praising God for his deliverance. Glory to God. We should be praising God for our deliverance, because everything that he's done it there at the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
Amen. You got something you want to say, Minister Glory? Praise the Lord, because what a mighty God we serve.
Well, it's confirmation when you're talking about his name's above every name.
Yes.
Because in Philippians 2:9 it says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and his name is Jesus.
Glory to God. So God the Father has given him a name, praise God, which is above every name.
Amen.
His name is above arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. His name is above depression right now. Glory to God. His name is above oppression right now. His name is above sickness and disease.
Yes.
And I tell you, we have to have the understanding that we're able to invoke the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Whatever comes up against us is coming up against Jesus, because I want to tell you, he's in us and we are in him. And what is happening is that we are joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's
amen.
Right. Yeah.
The scripture tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 6 that he has made us to sit together with him. He's with us and we're with him. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And whatever comes against us is coming against him. But he's all powerful.
He's all powerful.
I said he's all powerful.
Yes.
Glory to God. And I want everybody out there in Radio Land to understand, if you are born again,
mm-hmm.
Now hear what I'm saying, beloved, out there in Radio Land. If you are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power. I don't care if you were born again 30 seconds after you heard what I said. You still have that power, praise God. Hallelujah. That's the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember reading there in, I think it's in Romans there, Romans 8 and 11, somewhere around there, where it says that the same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus,
yep,
also dwell in us. Glory to God. We have power.
That's right.
So why are we walking around here accepting the devil's junk? He knows those that know who they are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And when he comes up against it, you see, he cannot... Well, first of all, he is not omnipresent.
No, not like Jesus.
Not like the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He selects his target,
mm-hmm,
and he catches folks that not praying. That, and I'm not trying to say that you have to be doing all of this, but the thing of it is that our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, we have to stay on top of what is going on. So he selects his target,
yes,
and he looks at folks that are saying that they are children of God and they are doing all kind of other things. Now the word tells us there, praise God, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we're going to jump from Ephesians here. We're going to come back to it. But I just want to say this to my radio listeners out there in Radio Land, that the Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
has done it all there on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
And the word tells us that we are to submit ourselves under the mighty hands of God, that he will exalt us in due time,
uh-huh,
praise God.
Amen.
And casting all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Well, he takes the care,
yes,
praise God. We give him our cares.
Amen.
And what does it say there? Glory to God in Ephesians, I mean in
First
Peter 5.
It says be sober.
Yes, be sober. Be awake.
That's right.
You know?
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Because your adversary,
yes,
the devil, as a roaring lion.
He walks as a roaring lion.
Seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah, so he's looking for folks that don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. He's selecting them. But see, our God, the one that we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful, glory to God. And he's omniscient. He's an all-wise God. We have all of this going on in our lives as a child of God. And I want to tell you, the enemy, he's trying to seek out folks that don't know who they are,
yes,
in Christ Jesus. Well, let's get into natural for a moment.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at this this program on TV. It's a nature program where the lions, they're so clever.
Uh-huh.
See, they roar.
Right.
But they got that growl frightens them.
Yes.
And still fear into them.
Uh-huh.
So what happened is that then he is so clever where he started running at the herd. He've already selected the weak one.
Yes.
You know, the weak one in the herd.
Yes.
The sickly one.
Yes.
The one that really being protected by the others. So what happened is that then he'd start at the herd and start separating. Oh, I'm telling you, he's clever, but he doesn't know more than the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I tell you, praise God, he doesn't know more than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is that in the natural, so the strong ones run off, and the weak one is standing there, and that's his prey.
Yes.
So what is happening is, as it says here, that he walks about as a roaring lion. In other words, he's just making a whole lot of noise because Jesus, what he's done, Jesus detoothed him. I mean, that's not proper grammar, but detoothed him on the cross of Calvary. He doesn't have any teeth, and he took away that growl. All he's doing is trying to instill fear in you.
Yes.
But I tell you today, in the name of Jesus, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Paul was telling Timothy that in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but then what has God given us? He's given us power, the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and of a sound mind. Glory to God.
Amen.
Sober mind.
Amen.
Stay sober. Be busy.
vigilant, because you have an adversary out there, and he is the devil. His name is the devil. Jesus said, the word of God says it. But he's given us power, glory to God, over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Praise the name of our God. That name of Jesus, glory to God, all power rest in his name.
And the word of God says, submit yourselves therefore unto God.
Yes,
and resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Praise God. So when we submit ourselves
unto the word of God.
The word of God. Praise God. Because John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. So the word is God. So we're submitting ourselves unto the word, the authority of the word.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And we resist the devil. We're not trying to fight him. We're resisting the devil. And he will flee. He will run as if in terror. Praise God. Because of that name. Well, I tell you something, Minister Grove, when he looks at us, if we are really walking in the clothes that the Lord Jesus has provided for us, praise God, the devil should see Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. When we're walking in the Spirit, he should see the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
He should see the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you. But what's happening when we walk in ourselves?
Amen.
What happens is that then he tries to take us out. But I tell you, he can't do it. He cannot do it, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen.
We are covered. Knowing that we have the faith that Jesus has told us in the word, that we're going to believe what the word of God says and what he has done on the cross of Calvary.
Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And we need to know what he's done. The word of God tells us there that he's done it all.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it all.
Amen.
And we need to rest in what Christ has done.
Yes.
He's done it all.
So
we're not trying to fight no devil.
No.
You haven't found anyone that's going to fight somebody that's defeated.
No.
So he's a defeated foe. So what we're doing is just resisting the adversary through the word of God, through prayer. Praise God. Because the word tells us that we're to pray always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Glory
for the saints. So what happened? We're just praying. But I tell you, when the enemy sticks his head up and try to take authority over you, we got to look at what the word of God says.
Amen.
The word tells us that we're all powerful, not in ourselves, but in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Minister Gray, I want you to look at something here in I think it's in Luke 10 and verse 19 here. Well, you know the story where the 70 went out and they came back rejoicing.
Yes.
Listen, we have power.
Yes.
Praise God.
The word of God says it.
And the power is not of us, but it's of God. But God has invested this power in his children.
That's right.
Praise God. The 70 went out and they came back rejoicing because they told the master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, that even the spirits a subject unto us through his name.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Unto us through his name.
That's right.
How many of us are invoking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to read that 19th verse?
Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
My God, that's a promise.
Yes.
And he said, nothing by any means hurt you. So we're not just rejoicing because demons are subject unto the name of Jesus through us. But let me tell you something. We're rejoicing because our names are written down in the Lamb of God's book. In the book. Glory to God. In heaven, praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
In heaven.
That's what it says in heaven. Because God's not confirming us. He's confirming his word, praise God. With signs following.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, anyway, let's get back to Apostle Paul and talking to the church of Ephesus there. Praise the Lord. Because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you finish that verse of scripture there in Philippians 2?
Yes.
The
name of Jesus.
Yes.
Every knee.
Wait a minute now. At the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, the name of Jesus is all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
He is able to do all things.
Yes.
He cannot fail.
Yes.
My God. And what a mighty God that we serve. He is God.
Yes.
Now, in Acts, the third chapter there, praise God. See, we can talk about the name of Jesus all we want, but we need faith in that name, praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said faith in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
The scenario there was when the man at the gate called Beautiful there, praise God, and Peter and John was going up into the temple, praise the Lord.
Yes.
And they told silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the
name of Jesus, rise up.
Praise God.
And and his name through faith in his name have made this man strong.
Glory to God. See, his name through faith in his name. So
right.
Faith has to be in that name, because that name is all powerful.
That's right.
That's the name of
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't that something? And Paul's all talking about the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's giving the credit to the Lord, because it is he and he alone that's able to do the miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
His name, praise God. You have his name.
Yes, we do.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I have his name.
Yes.
You have faith in his name.
Yes.
I have faith in his name.
Yes.
Praise God. I know that the name of Jesus is all powerful. Praise God.
Amen.
And when the enemy sticks his head up, and he does a lot of times, he tries to torpedo and try to stop you from carrying out the work of God.
Yes.
He tried to inflict you. But I'm going to tell you something. No matter what it is, Jesus still God. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We thank God for everything that he's done. I want to tell everybody out there in Radio Land that if you're born again, you've been raised up with Christ.
Yes.
And he made you. He didn't ask you. He made you sit together with him in heavenly places. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
That wonderful, matchless, mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Well, we don't want to close out this broadcast, because I know who I am in Christ, and I pray that you know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also want to let you know that you have the power of attorney. You're not using the name of Jesus haphazardly. You're not using the name of Jesus because you don't have a right. We have a right, because
yes,
we are born again. Glory to God, and washed in the blood of the Lamb. So, Minister Glory, I want you to extend the invitation to all those out there in Radio Land, praise God, that are tuned into the broadcast, those that are saved and even are not saved. Whomever it may be, let the word fall where it may, because this word is all powerful.
It's all powerful. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. But if you open up your hearts right now, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God, and we all are children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I thank you out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast, and it's my prayer that you realize who you are and whose you are, and you can walk in victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you all until the next broadcast. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.